You know, when somebody like Tom Roberts is here, and I think you know this, there's a few guests here that will join us that are true close friends. And it's like, gee, do I need to prepare? Do we need to talk this out in advance? And usually I just can't. Hang on, we'll get your mic actually on in a minute.
It's who are you?
There we go.
Excuse me, who are you?
I'm Larry. It's Larry.
Okay.
Berger. Last time we saw each other, was it Giant Eagle, I think. Was it Giant Eagle?
Sam's Club?
Or Sam? It might have been.
Been Sam's Club.
It was in a store, and it was interesting because I almost never am in the world of commerce like that, but I was, and Ricky was with me too.
It was definitely Sam's.
Yeah,
that's one of the few places.
It was a store, and I saw Tom out of context.
And we recognized each other.
Yes.
Which is a very unique experience.
So Tom is of Pittsburgh, but he's also of the world. If you don't know Tom, and I hope you do, he's really one of the world's authorities on stride piano, on ragtime. He's an incredible musician, was Leon Redbone's music director for about 10 years.
I think so.
Toured the world with him. And the Statler Brothers tapes.
Oh, you saw
recently,
that, huh?
Yes, I did. Have recently surfaced with, you can see and hear Tom on YouTube playing with Leon. And
the Tonight Show is up there too on my YouTube channel.
And he's of Pittsburgh and is here in Pittsburgh and is just a tremendous joy. Lately, he's been doing music associated with silent films. He's been transcribing things. I should let you talk about your life rather than me doing
it. I'll just send them all to my Wikipedia page.
Yes. Do you want to play a little bit?
What do you want to? We're promoting the concert that I'll be doing at Nova Place this Thursday.
Oh, yes, this Thursday. You can actually see Tom and watch him play at Nova Place this Thursday.
All right, this is a nice tune. This is a Dr. John song. This is nice. It's how I get used to the piano that I'll be playing on. This is called Dorothy. An abbreviated version.
Dot.
Ain't that nice?
Yeah, it is. I think you should call that Dot. It's an abbreviated version of Dorothy.
Very. That's good.
Yeah, I always thinking.
There you go again, Larry.
Do the best
always
I can.
Always thinking.
You know that song as you play it. I think if you hadn't told me it was Dr. John, I think I would have figured it out. It sounds like him.
It does sound like him.
And I also heard a little bit of Georgia on my mind. And is there a little bit of that in there?
Yeah, it is. It's got the very, it's in the key of C, but yeah, it's got the same chord progression. It's all, and Larry, remember, everything is just one thing. Everything is one.
You think?
Oh, yeah. The illusion of personal identity and all these things. It's all just one thing. But yeah, they're just, and it's just like, you go to, what's the Mexican restaurant? Chipotle. You go in there and you want to, say you want to get a taco. You get like a little tortilla, put the protein in, put all the stuff in, that's it. Say you want to turn that into a burrito. You get a bigger tortilla.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. It's just what it's wrapped up in.
Yeah, or, there are people that argue whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. That's a big thing these days, is.
Really?
Yeah. It's for people that apparently have a lot of time, is a hot dog a sandwich?
People will argue about anything these days.
That they will.
This is why I do not participate.
Yes. You can make your own world. That's what I try
and
best I can.
The thing is, I just talking with Ty out there, and I was like, this is your world has been created. You have created everything that you will see down here in the basement of the Children's Museum is Larry Berger world. He imagined this, and he has manifested it, and it's wonderful. And so everything you see up on 1035 Yetta Avenue is Tom Roberts' world. Everything there is my manifestation of what I imagined.
Well, we're allowed to do that.
Of course we are.
We have to – there are a few rules we need to follow, all of us. All of us as human beings are allowed to create the world.
Absolutely.
We wish to create and ignore other worlds.
Absolutely.
So tell me – and I should know more about it, but the recent
shame on you, Larry.
What do you call it? The
blender.
The fundraising. Yeah, wondering. No, the crowdsourced fundraiser.
The Kickstarter.
Thank you.
The Kickstarter that we did for my score for Nosferatu. So, yeah, it was very successful. Everything was done up front. We recorded it. Brian Wright, who I hopefully is at Music to My Ear right now, listening to the test pressing on the $100,000 stereo system they have upstairs, listening to it. But yeah, we recorded it. We went to the Road of Shalom there in Oakland. There's a beautiful Steinway piano there. He set up all his recording equipment. We recorded it all and edited it, mixed it, and the process is complete. It's being manufactured right now in Germany on 180-gram vinyl. Blood red.
Oh, my.
Blood rot. And it's the score to Nosferatu.
Tell me about the film. I don't know that much. I supported the project sight unseen because I just knew was important.
Larry, it's so good. Shame on you. You didn't see Nosferatu. So Nosferatu, Chad Hunter from the Pittsburgh Silent Film Society, who is the man that created National Silent Film Movie Day, September, I guess it's September 25th.
Who is somebody I need to be in touch with for multiple reasons. Chad, if you're listening, I haven't been ignoring you. I only recently found out he is involved with Apple Shop.
Appaloosely.
In Kentucky, I love Apple Shop. Plus, he and I have been talking about doing some oral histories together, but I digress.
Yeah, you need to talk to Chad Hunter. I got to get the two of you. That's one of the things. I need to put you together with Chad Hunter.
Yes. Plus, I want to say, will success spoil Chad Hunter? I just want to say it, since it sounds like will success spoil Rock Hunter.
Though. Oh, okay.
But I just wanted, I guess I said
it. It works. So. He's listening. I bet he's listening right now. And he's getting all like giddy, like, oh my God, they're saying my name on the radio.
Either that or he's listening complaints. Anyway. So
Chad Hunter, back in 2022, approached me to accompany the 100th anniversary of Nosferatu. And I just had always seen it. I'd only seen like the fancy parts, like the typical things, like. And when I watched the film, and I figured I could just like phone it in, and I can't phone anything in. I honestly can't do it. I watched the film and I said, "Oh my God, this is a masterpiece." You do not just make noise to accompany this film. You do not just play death metal to accompany the film, because it's not. There's so many wonderful things within the film itself. And so I decided to compose music that was very much inspired by early German romantic composers like Robert Schumann and Brahms and Schubert and things like this. And so I did. Do you want to hear some of the tunes?
Yeah, I'd love to.
So here is this is the one that's used to indicate potential doom and dread coming in. This was when we first hear it. This is called An Account of the Great Death in Wisburg, 1834 or 1838. Listen to this. This is so good.
It is scary,
but it's also, but it's not like blatantly in your face scary.
No, it's like motion. Something is about to happen,
and things like this. And so my whole mode of composing things for any of these silent films is very much inspired by Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin started composing scores for his silent films because he said, "I hated Hollywood musical directors ruining what I did." You know, doing funny music for a comedy, a silent comedy, really kind of detracts from the experience. There's a really nice early Chaplin film with Fatty Arbuckle called The Rounders, and there's two versions that are available. One of them has funny music, kind of upbeat, peppy stuff. And the other one has very elegant, romantic, ballet-sounding stuff. And so which one gets the greatest laugh? The one that has the ironic music. And so rather than composing scary music, I did things that are beautiful.
You created the world.
You know, like this is like, you know, in Wisburg when things are beautiful. I don't remember it, but it's very nice. So nice. And then the slime ball real estate agent. Impending doom and dread. It's not scary. It's just kind of, that was very much inspired by Felix Mendelssohn. But that project is done. And the records are coming out. We should have the blood red 180 gram vinyl records from Germany mid September, and I'll be delivering those in person to people in Pittsburgh
in time for Halloween. How
and,
nice!
And then all of the Nosferatu fests, which has become a nice little cottage industry for me in October. I'll be performing it all over. I'll be doing it at Carnegie. I'll be doing it at the Maple Leaf in Millvale. By the way, folks, the show tonight at the Maple Leaf in Millvale has been postponed, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes, that's a Buster Keaton show that was scheduled for tonight.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, and it's been rescheduled. So, Carnegie at the Harris Theater downtown. I'm going to be taking it to Johnstown. And Indiana, PA, and Elizabeth, PA, and I just talked to someone the other day who's wants to bring it to is that Northwest Ohio, I guess.
If you go there. TomRobertsPiano.com.
TomRobertsPiano.com.
Probably we'll have a list that will continue to be updated as you look at it to just find out ways you can see this film. How long is the film roughly?
It's about 2.5 hours long.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? The thing is, so I assumed, like, oh, it's going to be like an hour long. So I'm like, as I'm writing it, I assumed it was a three-act. It's organized in acts. And so, and I thought it was like a three-act thing. It's like, well, no, oh, four acts. Okay. Oh, no, five acts. Oh, no, six acts. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I think it's like, it just kept going and going and going and going. But I was able to pull that off. And it's one of the best things it is probably the thing that I am most proud of.
That's something because everybody has to be a bit self-critical, especially when you have a body of work like yours. So it's got to feel really good to feel like the last thing, the latest thing that you've
done.
Don't
say the last thing. Don't say the last thing, Larry.
The latest thing. Yeah, I caught myself saying that the other day in another context, and I didn't. So I said to a teen I was interviewing, this will be our last chance to talk together. And I meant for the morning because the segment was ending and somebody called and said, are you leaving? I said, no. Now I've seeded the rumor again. No. I'm curious about, I would have assumed you would get intimately familiar with the film first. And what you just said kind of implied that first you wanted to horse around with the music, which comes first?
Well, at this, you know, one of the things is when I did the Chaplin project, I spent 16 hours for every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then for the, for like 1 8-second segment, I think I spent like 24 hours working on it. So that's, I tend to do that. And for this project, because there was, you know, the financial reimbursement that was possible at that point was not nearly as much as I would have hoped. And so it was just like, well, yeah, no, and this, I can't do it. I tried to phone things in like that, and I felt dirty. I felt like I had betrayed myself and the sanctity of silent film. And so I have to spend hundreds and thousands of hours just working on these things to compose things because I believe in the importance of it, that people need to be immersed in it.
It's got to be hard. It's difficult. First, I'm glad you brought up the ratio of hours you spend, you know, thinking and composing and trying things to seconds or minutes, if you're lucky, of music that emerge from that. But you're collaborating with somebody who can't, actively collaborate.
Who's dead.
Yeah.
And you are collaborating across the illusion of time. And it's pretty wonderful. So, yeah. And Brian Wright, who is the owner of Rivermont Records out of Lynchburg, Virginia, heard it when I played it and just said, oh, my God, this is great. Let's record it. And it was initially planned to be recorded in 2024, but those, you know, you remember what happened to me in 2024.
Yes.
I had a pretty severe brain injury that kind of knocked me out of commission for, and it's, I'm starting to come back from it now, which is good.
You seem great.
I think I'm great.
I think you are. And you've, I know, have told me in the past that your ability to transcribe music, you feel, has actually improved. Is better.
Yeah. So to explain to the people at home what transcribing is you listen to a recording and you write down everything that is being played, particularly like in like historic jazz things, and like where there is no music for some of these things. And a lot of these things were on fairly primitively recorded acoustic technology. And I'm able to peer beneath the surface now. I don't know. It's almost like my brain has AI built into it that I can just remove things. So one of the projects that I'm doing right now is transcribing the Red Onion Jazz Babies, which is a pre-Louis Armstrong Hot 5 group.
Huh.
And it's remarkable. It's just great stuff. And I'm doing it for a music professor in Canada, British Columbia, and it's going to be published by him. And I just been talking with someone from a university in Ohio that's would like me to transcribe the Hot 5 stuff.
Mm.
And so I listen to these things, and then I figure out what each individual person is playing, and then I write it out so it can be studied, because there's nothing written for these things. And it's a wonderful thing to peer into these old records.
Yeah, you're a connector for these. Do you want, I know there's people listening saying, make sure Tom plays a little bit more. Do you want to maybe play something from that era that you like?
Oh.
Or whatever you'd like to play. It's up to you.
Let's see what I should play right now. Yeah, I come in here and I have no idea what will happen. So,
which I know, yeah.
You know. That was the tune I wanted to play earlier, but it's just like it wasn't there. That was all right. Let's see something from the 20s. Well, how about some Jelly Roll Morton?
Some Jelly.
This
Roll
is Jelly
Morton.
Roll Morton. This is the Froggy Moore rag. You know who Froggy Moore was? Froggy Moore was a vaudevillian whose act was he would wear a frog costume and he would tie himself up into knots and roll about the stage. Entertainment, true entertainment.
Yes, it's much simpler.
Beautiful. The ending of it, but I improvised something. Isn't that special?
Nobody could tell.
Nobody could tell if I didn't mention it. So,
Tom Roberts, if you're wondering, TomRobertsPiano.com is how you can reach him. I, excuse me, was talking. I used to be able to do that. Pardon me. Talking a few weeks ago about Louis Armstrong, who I know you love, and his service as an ambassador for the State Department through jazz. Do you know about that?
What, are you kidding me, Larry?
And of course you know about that. I'm fascinated by
that. You know that Louis, so this is one of the things, one of the entities, one of the many things that I do to maintain my lifestyle of extreme poverty is the Hot Club of Pittsburgh, which is associated with jazz at Lincoln Center, at least with Phil Schaap, who was a friend of mine. Phil Schaap was the curator for jazz at Lincoln Center, but he was also a radio personality and a record producer.
Yeah.
Just like this amazing force of humanity and kindness and intelligence and wonderfulness. And he said, you got to start a hot club in Pittsburgh where people will get together and listen to this old music. So the main crux of the Hot Club of Pittsburgh is to let people know that Louis Armstrong is not a one-hit wonder from the 60s. Louis Armstrong changed everything. If Louis Armstrong, who was a child of risk, was abandoned to the streets of New Orleans as a six-year-old, hanging with all the wrong crowds throughout his entire early life, had he not survived that, the whole world, the musical world, would be totally different, because every single thing that he played changed everything. I'm not exaggerating. Everything changed as a result of Louis Armstrong. And I think in September I'm going to do a listening session via Zoom for the Monroeville Library on the importance of Louis Armstrong in these early recordings. And they're all going to be played directly from the 78s. I've got, like, I see you got those Focusrite Scarlett things out
there.
Those are nice. Those are nice. And,
yeah.
And it's like you're sitting in my house listening to these records with me, and you can be in your own house.
Yeah. And Louis Armstrong, you know, no, it wasn't Hello, Dolly. It wasn't What a Wonderful World. Louis Armstrong's life and impact goes back
to 1923.
Yeah. And, I maybe 10 years ago, I learned about his being part of this State Department effort to fancy this, a State Department that wants to improve relations with other countries by having musicians tour them. And
well, the world was a very different place then, Larry.
Indeed.
So.
When you think about Louis, does it pop a song into your head or think about
it does not nothing that I can play for you right now, but you could come and hear the there is the Hot Club of Pittsburgh is a Facebook group, anti-social media, but that's something necessary to do. But we'll be doing some of these programs from Monroeville Library for the Zoom, and then several in the Mount Lebanon Library live in later on in the year.
Yeah, and these are...
They're wonderful. And you listen to these old recordings, and they don't sound... Those are things that have been erased by lack of care and not changing the needle. You're supposed to change the needle for every play for, like, these early records, with the exception of Edison's and Pathé's.
Well, and you've got quite a lot of them. And
I've got thousands upon them.
And when I meant does something come to mind, I didn't mean necessarily to play, but just if any. It's hard to just pick one, but there's just.
It's unbelievable. You know, the one. All right, so the one that I think has the potential of changing everybody is Potato Head Blues.
Hmm. Just don't know that one.
Oh, my God, Larry, shame on you. Potato Head Blues.
Now you got me looking.
Well, now you don't have to look, because you know you can listen to my directly from the 78, which is like the life force of those individuals are physically embedded into the grooves of that record. I see you've got record cutting stuff out there in the
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. It's a they're tricky, you know, to get to work,
yeah.
but we've had, Chad has done some workshops with these machines were so popular in the 40s to send you know, loved ones audio messages across the vials during the war, and it can be used. We found that solo plates, not the musical term solo, but the company that makes disposable plates, are very good for pressing.
Kidding. Yeah, nice. You can do cylinders too with like plastic, like solo glasses, I guess, too, little cups.
Oh, yeah. That I didn't know.
Oh, yes. But,
so look for Hot Club of Pittsburgh. That's another way you can be in Tom's midst to celebrate these great recordings that he has available.
I'm thinking about maybe starting, because the Hot Club of New York is now doing live in-person sessions. It used to be Zoom only, particularly during the pandemic. You get together every Monday. So now they've got their own private space, and they actually make money by having these in-person listening sessions. So maybe that's what will happen. There's plenty of parking up on Yetta Avenue there in Spring Hill. You could come on up and give me your money, and I'll play you Louis Armstrong's first record or Duke Ellington's first record, or I got my Edison Chippendale machine just repaired in the past week. You wouldn't believe what it sounds like.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Where do you get something like that repaired?
There's a guy named Wyatt Marcus from Schenectady, New York, who's like the East Coast repairman for Edison phonographs. And he came down to my house and he just rebuilt it, put in new springs, put a new diamond on it. Ooh, it sounds good.
That's amazing.
He's not cheap, but it's good.
No, if that's...
That's how he makes his living.
Yeah. Tom Roberts is here. You can get a chance to hear him and see him play at our solar concert series, which is coming up this Thursday, 12/15, August 28th at Nova Place. Are you in the mood to play?
Yeah. How about a little James Booker?
Oh.
James Booker, the man that was called the greatest gay black one-eyed junkie to ever come out of New Orleans, and who was a child prodigy and was an absolute genius and was able to transform the most banal material into absolute miracles. Let's do Sunny Side of the Street. Now, the average person would play it. No. Listen to what James Booker turned it into. Thank you. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it really is how one person can just apply his mind to it. It's again about making a world.
Exactly.
He made that song his own.
Indeed.
World.
And you know what? Yeah, so I'm doing, I can teach anybody to do that.
Is that so?
That is so. It's all a trick. I give piano. That's, you know, I'm kind of in pseudo-retirement. I don't have to play all. I really don't want to play out all that much anymore. And but I teach people how to do what they want to do. And it's, I have a very unique approach to teaching people how to play the piano. And it's incredibly successful. You know, just look at Tadao Tomokyo. Tadao Tomokyo. I think he's in Europe right now playing with orchestras.
He is amazing.
He is amazing. And he, you know why? Because he allowed himself to be a genius. I think we all have the potential to be a genius to some degree. And so what I will do is I will show you how to do whatever you want to do. It's all a trick. It's all a trick. Everything that you just heard right there, it's all a trick.
Well, it's a state of mind, to be sure.
Absolutely.
And, so much of it is letting go of certain things. We sound like we're doing a self-help program now. But
well, we are.
By the way, from Elwood City, Larry and Vanessa just wrote, it blows our, you thought I was just doing solitaire over here when I brought my phone on. It absolutely blows our minds that a human has the capabilities of Tom Roberts. We've seen him a number of head-shaking times and hope to be able to make it Thursday.
Really? What nice people. How much money do I owe them?
I think that's free.
That's great.
Altogether. Do you have capacity to take on folks that want to learn?
Oh, absolutely.
So TomRobertsPiano.com is how you
just
can
send
get...
me an email and I will, and you will learn what you want to learn. There's not going to be any silly books out there where you got to play like...
That's the John Thompson.
That's the John Shom book. That was when I attempted to take piano lessons when I was like in fourth grade or something. That was my favorite song that Mrs. Rogers, out there in Swiss Home Park was. It was called Bone Sweet Bone because there was a picture of a little dog in the thing. Bone Sweet Bone, Bone Sweet Bone. That's my favorite song. Bone Sweet Bone, Bone Sweet Bone. Sing it loud and strong. But then I said, Mrs. Rogers, I mean, that's great, but I can play this. And I proceeded to play the whole thing, and she says, oh my God, I can't play that. I can't teach you anymore. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I just went on my own path to figure out how all this stuff works. And so you can, anything you want, I will be able to teach you how to do it. And you will understand what the composer's intent was.
It's, I wonder why more people don't let kids...
What do you mean, the parents or the teachers?
I guess both.
Yeah. Come up to Spring Hill, baby. You won't believe the miracles that are capable.
I mean, I can understand how fundamentals might be appropriate, but if a kid is naturally discovering
Everybody is natural, Larry. Everybody is natural. Everybody has this unlimited potential. It's like we're doing the self-help show again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Everybody has the ability to do whatever they want. It's most important thing is that you figure out what it is that you love, and then you will be able to do it.
Tom, talking about other aspects of Tom.
Yes.
There's a number of recordings out there, whether it be the Beans and...
Which no longer exists, sadly, but that's okay.
Well, the recordings are there.
They're still there, yeah.
Recording the Beans
and the Leon
combo.
Redbone stuff and my soundtrack, the stuff that I did with Vince Giordano for The Aviator and the Cole Porter movie. And, you know, most of the stuff that I did was pre-social media. So it's like we don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Well, it's a body of work.
It is a body of work. But
it is important.
Absolutely.
And I think about that sometimes, too. So much of SLB's history predates that, too, although plenty of it is...
There's plenty of it now doing
now
it, so,
too.
Yeah.
And the same for you. What else should we mention? We just have a few remaining moments here.
Really?
It's gone fast.
It has gone fast. Time flies when you're having fun. Oh, I will be on another network next Saturday.
Oh, good. Yes, you can hear Tom on...
Swing und Sway.
Yes, you can hear him... as they used to say in old radio and TV programs, Tom appears on another network.
I know, wasn't that good? Yeah.
We can mention WESA.
Dale Abraham with this.
Yeah.
It's the old
Rhythm Sweden Hot Show,
which now has been rebranded as Swing and Sway. Wait. And I love to make fun of the name Swing and Sway.
Yeah.
Spit and Swear.
Schwitz and
Schwing and Schwitz when I did the Yiddish swing band stuff and Stampede and Sachet when we do the so that'll be next Saturday on 90.5 from 6 to 8 p.m. I got some good stuff I'm gonna play next week too. I've got some calypso, I've got some like early boogie woogie stuff. Ooh, it's good. Tune in.
Wow, that's a good...
Oh, it's great, man.
a good pre-sell for that. An amazing pre.
Yeah,
why not? It's good to be able to share that music
with absolutely
everybody. I mean, you've got to be able to do that. So look for Tom. The idea of taking lessons, even if you want to just explore it, why not?
Absolutely. And, absolutely.
Come to see him at the Solar Concert Series that's coming up. You see me, I'm like... looking at Tom and looking at equipment here. Sorry to be looking away.
That's all right.
Like that. I'm trying to make sure I have to hit all my marks.
I hear you, baby. Yeah.
You know that.
Should I play you out?
I would love if you played me out.
Let's see. What else should we play for you? Here's another Dr. John number called Sipiana Midnight.
Okay.
It's loud.
I may thank a few people as you play, if that's okay. I am going to thank Tom Roberts. And a quick thank you to Chad Green, technical director, technical associate. Ella Storm, both engineering today. Todd Trosky books our program. And to let you hear more of Tom, I'll acknowledge Ricky Berger. And this is Larry Berger. We'll meet you here next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade.
Timing, baby. Timing.
It's all about timing, every bit of it. So good to see you.
Good to see you guys, too.
And we'll see you.
See you Thursday.
Thursday. Thanks again to Tom Roberts. And thank you again for meeting us here.